think in the bulletin it says that the text is Hebrews. Hebrews is a book in the New Testament. It's 13 chapters long. And rather than actually being the text, it's not going to help you so much to have it open. I'm just going to let you know. Because on Tuesday morning, I wake up earlier than everybody else. You wouldn't know that, but I wake up earlier than everybody else. The likelihood is that when you wake up on any given morning, I've already been awake for several hours. On Tuesday, I woke up and I made my way to a Starbucks after killing a little bit of time to a Starbucks that opens at 5. Had to kill some time. And as I sat there, it was the day after Christmas, I opened up the book of Hebrews and found myself reading the whole book. And let me just recommend, if you have never read, not just the book of Hebrews in one setting, if you have never read any book of the Bible in one setting, with the exception of maybe 2nd, 3rd John, or Jude, which is just, 14 verses each, if you haven't read through one of the Gospels in one setting, you ought to do that. If you have not read the book of Romans, which is pretty ambitious with its 16 chapters, you ought to do that. And if I can make a recommendation, if you would find some time this week to read through the entire book of Hebrews in one setting, it will take you less than a half hour. At the most, it'll take you 45. I'm going to guarantee it will be worth your while. And rather than a particular text, think of the book of Hebrews in this way. The book of Hebrews for this morning's message is the soundtrack in the background of everything I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about? You watch a movie and they try to set the tone with the background music. If it's a creepy movie, they're trying to scare you by the background music. You know when the bad thing is going to happen, so you can close your eyes because the music is prompting you. Right? Well, the book of Hebrews is the background of everything I'm going to share today. There's several scriptures I'll point to, not all of them from the book of Hebrews, and over I'll be referencing specific words and specific sentences and specific thoughts from the book of Hebrews. But here is what the book of Hebrews, if you had to boil it down to one thing, it is this: Jesus is better. The book of Hebrews can be the cliff notes. The Pastor Brian, the PB notes for the book of Hebrews, which I'm borrowing from thousands of other pastors and theologians who've gone before me. This isn't unique. Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. And as we're heading out of one year and into another year, I think it will be well worth our time to kind of reorient ourselves around this thought. Jesus is better. He is greater. Loved ones, Jesus is better than all of our blessings and all of our joys. And if we are able to keep this in view, that He's better than all the joy He brings us, He's better than all the blessings He gives us, if we're able to keep this in view, that is, if we are able to love Jesus more than we love His stuff, if we are able to desire Jesus more than we desire His stuff, then we will find ourselves remaining humble and protected from pride. See, it's possible to be so dazzled by God's good gifts to us that we cease to see Jesus. Sometimes life is so good and it becomes so easy for us that we forget to ask the Lord for our daily bread, because we wake up and there's bread everywhere. And so reminding ourselves that Jesus is better than all of His gifts, He is better, more desirable than all of the joy that He brings us, that equips us to live in humility, that equips us to be generous with what He gives us, because it's not ours anyway, it's His good gift up. And if He were to impoverish us by calling us to give all that we have to those who are in need, we would still be adequately provided for and cared for by His very presence in our lives. Here's the deal. To whom much is given, much is required. And to be given much is also to be tempted much. Talks about those who are called into teaching. Don't desire to be a teacher, because if you are a teacher, there's going to be more required from you. To be given much, the temptation is to become lazy, to be given much. The temptation is to settle down, to hunker down in the plush couch that you have, and to just enjoy the beautiful surroundings. And so, loved ones, Jesus is better than all the blessings and the joys that we have in our life. He is also better than our fears. He is greater than our disappointments. And if we're able to keep this in view, that is, if we love Jesus more than we want His help, if we will desire Jesus more than we want an escape from a particular trouble, then we will discover that hope does not disappoint. If all we are ever doing is trying to escape trouble, we will be forever thwarted in our own efforts, in our own energy to make a path of straightness for ourselves. But He is the one who makes our path straight. And so as we love Him and we desire Him, and we will discover that hope does not disappoint. And though we may be pressed, we may be persecuted, we may be struck down, we will discover that we are not crushed, we are not abandoned, and we are not destroyed. Because Jesus is beautiful on the day when the sun is shining down on us. And He is beautiful when we're living what seems to be under a cloud that we can't perceive the sun behind, right? And we know this is true. We know that Jesus is better, right? We know that Jesus is better because the Bible says so. The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it, right? Well, yes, but no. It's just not that simple. Yes, the Word of God is true. Without a doubt. Whether we believe it or not, the Word of God is true. Despite what anybody says to the contrary, the Word of God is true. Even when we find it confusing, when we find it hard, when we find it contrary to our experiences, the Word of God is true. But as for that settles it, that's hard, isn't it? Everybody in this room has found themselves in a situation where the Word of God says one thing and our experiences are speaking to us something else. And it is difficult for us to reconcile what God has said and what we are experiencing. See, for that settles it, it's tough. To be clear again, the Word of God is settled. The Word of God is sure. Psalm 19 says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure." Psalm 119, "Forever, Lord, Your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." In John 17, the disciple said to Christ, "Your word is truth." And in Matthew 24, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away." And so the Word of God is sure. It is unshaken. It is unbreakable. It is true. It is settled. But because our lives in this fallen world are so hard sometimes, our lives in this fallen world are hard beyond what we think we can handle. There seem to be times when we are not settled. Right? The Word of God is settled, and no matter how hard we want to believe it and hold on to it, still in our spirit there are sometimes seasons of being unsettled. No matter how much we want to be settled, no matter how much we wish it was true that God said it, I believe it, that settles it, no matter how hard we try to be settled, for many of us, for all of us, this is true. There are times when the most honest confession we can make is this: the Bible says it, and I am desperately trying to believe it, even though right now I am not settled. And so our unsettled lives, our unsettled souls cry out with all the faith that we can muster, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Which, by the way, is one prayer we know Jesus pleased to attend to. We cry out to Jesus because we know He's better. When we are desperate and we're looking for a way of escape, and the temptation comes to escape in a way that is sinful, we stand our ground because we know Jesus is better. When we are worried and upset and stressed and filled with anxiety and the temptation is to lose hope and to walk away from Him, we stand sometimes with feet that are shaking and we hold on to Him and we don't allow ourselves to go and we pray, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, because we know Jesus is better. He's better than all false gods. He's better than all false hopes. Jesus is better. I'll say it this way. Jesus is better than all the blessings that we experienced in 2017, and so we worship Him. And I know there are people in this room for whom it has been a wonderful year. If you were to go back as best your ability and evaluate all the years of your life, some of you would say 2017 was the best ever year. I had been praying for this and for that and for something else, and for some reason God decided to give it all to me in one year. Woo! But I don't care how wonderful the year has been for you, Eddie. I don't care how wonderful the year has been for your girls. And it's been good. Jesus is better. He's better than the year was good. If your 2017 experience was one of goodness and mercy following you every single day, it was because of Jesus, right? And hear me, Jesus is even better than your experience of His blessings this year. Jesus Himself is even better than your experiences of joy that you had with Him this year. Jesus is better than His answers to prayer, so we give Him praise and we worship Him, right? Not so that the blessings will keep flowing, but because He's better. He's better than blessings. He's better than joy. He is the source of all blessings. He is the source of every joy that we have. And we look to Him not so there would become more. We look to Him because He is satisfying. Furthermore, Jesus is better than all the fears that we have or we may have as we enter into 2018. And so we set our hearts and we set our minds and we set our eyes on Him. Isaiah chapter 26 tells it to us this way, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." How do we find ourselves kept in peace when the whole world is falling apart? Keep our minds stayed on Christ. We trust in Him, even though our experience seems to be in conflict with what the Word says is true, right? And so it is that Hebrews 12 tells us to look to Jesus, who is the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Because we know that from the beginning, He has been the one at work in our lives to bring us into the story of goodness, of redemption, and of salvation. And though there are some mountains, and though there are some valleys, He is still writing the story of His grace in our lives, so that there will come a day when we stand around the throne and we add our voices to the voices of the 10,000 upon 10,000, singing the song of the Lamb, and there will be a time, I'm telling you, I think this is the way it's going to go. I could be wrong. But there's going to come a time when you sing your song of Christ's salvation in your life and the multitudes hear your story. And then the rest of us will shut up. And then it'll become my turn. And then it'll be Lorna's turn. And then it'll be the Apostle Paul's turn. And then it'll be Moses' turn. We all have a story where God entered our lives. His kingdom came and it trumped everything that was broken in this world. Joining around the throne, and we're going to add our own particular verse to the song of the Lamb. I just think it's going to happen that way. And the only way any of us are going to make it through 2018 without being destroyed by our doubts, without being destroyed by the darkness that is in this world, without being destroyed by the conflict that is in our own hearts or in our families or within our friendships, the only way any of us are going to make it through 2014 is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because no matter how dark our days are, His light is brighter. No matter how difficult our circumstances are, He sits enthroned and He speaks our name to His Father. And loved ones, you can be guaranteed this, the Father listens to the Son. He's greater than our disappointments. He's greater than our doubts. He's greater than our fears. Looking to Jesus equips us with all the confidence that we would need to face anything that's ahead of us in 2018. And honesty demands that we admit we're not sufficient. No matter how skillfully you were able to weave in and out of the difficulties of 2017, you're headed for a head-on crash unless you keep your eyes on Christ. Have to look at Him. The true vision of Jesus will remind us that He is sufficient for these things. Some of us are going to receive devastating news in 2018. Don't know who it is. Some of us are. If we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, it will destroy us. But a true vision of Jesus will remind us that He's better. That He is sufficient for the task. That He is strong enough. And if we will see Him high and lifted up, we will be sent running into His arms for protection. We will be sent running to His arms for comfort. We will be sent running into His arms for confidence. We will be sent running to His arms for renewed hope. We will be sent running into His arms for adequate strength. And see, I know this is going to be something that all of us must keep our thoughts about in 2017. I know this is true because in just a few short hours, it's going to be 2018, and some of you are already there. Some of you, 2017 wasn't the experience of grace and mercy following you all the days of your life. It felt like from the moment the clock struck 12 in 2017 to this very moment, you've been walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's been everything that God has done give you energy to keep you from falling apart. And He has done that because He's true. A true vision of Jesus will remind us that He is sufficient. And so we must tell Jesus all of our trials. We cannot bear our burdens alone. We must tell Jesus, Jesus can what? Help us. Jesus alone. So we know Jesus is better. We know that He is better and He is greater because the sure word of God is clear in fronting to us that Jesus is better. Indeed, He is greater than all the gifts He gives us. He's greater than all the victories that so thrill us when they happen. Left to ourselves, some of us this year would have been tempted to kind of stand back and just pat ourselves on the back. God's grace sometimes to us is so gracious that we forget Him and we're tempted to take all the credit ourselves. We're tempted to rely upon ourselves. We're tempted to forget that the good gifts that we have, every one of them, are from the Father of lights. And yet, some of you have had that experience this year. You are here declaring, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my precious Lord I see. See, remembering that He is better keeps us humble so that we can worship and declares, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. And so when an answer comes, we don't keep our eyes focused on what we've been desiring. We take that in. We turn it to praise, right? We turn it to worship. Thank You, Lord, for this good gift. I love the gifts, but I love You more. I am thrilled by this experience right now. I didn't think it would ever happen. I had given up hope. But I thrill and I delight in You more because You are greater than the answer to prayers. Some of you in this room right now have experienced sorrow of such magnitude this year that there were times where you were completely unsure if you would make it another hour. There were moments when people in this room were unsure. This is not exaggeration. I know this to be the case. Unsure if you would make it another hour. And yet here you are this morning, declaring through your present soul-crushing sadness, a sadness more acute than you ever knew existed, I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, and your prayer is, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Some of you right now are facing challenges so intimidating that the absolute easiest thing for you to do would be to turn tail and run. To close your eyes and to pretend that things are not difficult, that they are not challenging. The easiest thing for you to do would be to stop praying, to lessen your aspirations, to remove your hopes, to define your hopes down. Well, I've been praying for this, and I've been praying for this, and I've been praying for years. But here you are this morning. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world before me, the cross behind me. Though the cross before me, the world behind me. Yeah, that's better. The cross before me, the world behind me. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And loved ones, this simply isn't about the character of how we live our lives. It's also how we continue to pursue Him in prayer. If everybody in your family has given up hope on your child, though none go with me, still I will call forth to the Lord who saves to save my child. This may be the year. This may be the year when the unthinkable good gift that you've been praying for is accomplished by God's grace. See, we know that Jesus is better because the unchangeable, true Word of God says He is better. And we know that He is greater because, loved ones, we have experienced that He's greater, right? In our best times, He was greater than our joys. In our worst moments, He was greater than our sorrows. He is more beautiful than the view from the mountaintop, and He is the good shepherd who calms our fears in the valley of the shadow of death. That's who He is. He's better. And we know that Jesus is better because we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11 goes one after another, after another, and after another. Shows how God was faithful to them in bringing them out of difficulty or sustaining them in difficulty. Who gave them the ability to stand strong even though their lives were taken away. Who in the moment of crisis when they were sure to be defeated, He brought them forth in victory smelling like roses. And it's not just the gentlemen and the ladies of Hebrews chapter 11. We are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses in this room. People who have been in the trial, who have been in the furnace, who have stood before lions that would destroy our faith. And God kept them. Kept them. We don't have to hearken back to centuries to find somebody who says, God is true. We don't have to look back thousands of years to find somebody that God strongly supported. We just look around and we can talk to somebody in the foyer who will tell you this past week they were in a position of no hope and yet here they are. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And even if we have yet to experience the sweetness of victory that they have experienced or are experiencing in Jesus right now, or the satisfying comfort of the Good Shepherd in those dark moments as He stands with His rod and staff, giving protection and comfort over our lives, guarding us, our hearts, our souls, preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies, a table that we may not know is there. We are surrounded by those who will tell us, Christian and Josh, There is a good shepherd who is giving guard over your souls. And when it feels like your greatest joy is being torn from you, he is smiling upon you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He has good things in store for you. In the midst of difficulty, soul-crushing disappointment, you will find that he is good and he will feed your souls. He will feed your souls. In the presence of the enemy of doubt, in the presence of real enemies who had come for you and trying to destroy your faith in him, he will feed your souls. Sometimes he does it without your knowledge. And that's why you're able to make it another day when you didn't think you could. And that's why we come to church. We come to church on time because we need this great crowd of witnesses to tell us he's been good, right? We are surrounded by those who have, and they can help take us to Jesus. And in him, we will find that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And as we are taken there, we will be strengthened to hold fast to our confession. Because we will know and we will be reminded that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. He knows what it's like to be weak. But one who in every respect was tempted as we are. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Christ was tempted to all those areas. And he processed through it. So he knows what it's like. Now, you read the temptation in the desert and you think, oh, you know, that's just easy. He's the Son of God. Satan comes to him and says, take these stones and make them bread. Loved ones, if Satan came to me and said, here's some stones, make them bread, I wouldn't be tempted at all. Why? Because I can't do it. It's not an option for me. It was an option for the eternal Son of God to satisfy himself by his own power. And so he knows what it's like to resist to the uttermost when he could have righteously forgotten us all and fed his own soul, but yet he chose to do the will of his Father for our good. Until you have been tempted in such a way that you can fulfill it righteously and still you do the will of God, you haven't been tempted. He knows what it's like to be tempted in ways that we don't know how to be tempted. Because he could have done all sorts of things to satisfy himself because he's God. He could have done all sorts of things. He would righteously turn his back upon us. But he chose out of love to suffer for us. And in that he never sinned. And so we will be empowered with all confidence to do what? To draw near to the throne of grace so that we will receive grace and mercy in our help to help us in our time of need. By the way, we don't have anything but times of need. That's the only time that we have. When we're asleep, it's my time of need for Jesus to remember me. When I'm awake, it's time, my time of need for Jesus to remind me that I need to think of him. When the checking account is full the day after payday, it's my time of need. When the bank account is empty 2 days after payday, I need to remember that I have need. It's all need for us. Furthermore, this grace and this mercy that comes to us is given to us in order to empower us to live increasingly godly lives. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And if you think the Bible's not true, let's just say this. Has ever been in your experience, have you ever had anything we can go, you know what, that is absolutely true. Sin clings closely. Maybe the easiest words for anybody to identify with. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to what? To Jesus, because he's better. He's better. He's better than the water that quenches our thirst as we run the 5K or the 5 meter. Sorry. The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, in despising its shame, he embraced our shame and is right now seated at the right hand of God. So here it is at the end of this. Surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. He began our faith. He's also perfecting our faith. And so as we close out 2017 and move into 2018, let's do so with this thought. Let's do so with this truth. Let's do so with this anthem in our hearts, in our minds, and our souls. Let it anchor us to Jesus when His blessings abound so we do not forget Him. And let it focus our gaze on Jesus when the days are hard so that we know we are not forgotten by Him. Here's the anthem. Jesus is greater. Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. Jesus is better. Psalm chapter 103 puts it this way. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Pause right there. Three times we are told, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name. It doesn't start with His gifts. It doesn't start with His benefits. It doesn't start with His kindnesses. It doesn't start with His mercies. It just simply starts, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, exclamation point. If 2018 is an experience for us where God comforts us in the valley of the shadow of death, His name is worthy to be blessed. If He doesn't answer a single prayer that we pray, He is still worthy of our blessing His holy name. The ache that comes out of our souls ought to be this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When you doubt, bless the Lord. When you are in victory, bless the Lord. When you've experienced a setback, bless the Lord, because the Lord is good. Because Jesus is better than the answer to our prayer. Jesus is better than the joys that He gives. Jesus is better than the difficulty that is before us. Jesus is better. He is greater. He is better. He is greater. But loved ones, hear me. Forget not His benefits. All these things that God does for us in answering our prayers for deliverance or sustaining us in difficulty ought to turn out of our mouths, ought to pull out from our mouths a blessing for Him again. Forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? What do you do to that? You bless the Lord. Who heals all your diseases? This is true, right? What do? In the face of the fact that we serve a God who heals our diseases? We bless the Lord who redeems our lives from the pit. What do? We bless the Lord who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. What do? Do you get the grace in that? This is speaking of the Lord, right? Lord, it's speaking of the Lord who comes and He condescends to you and He takes the crown and He blesses you. Crowns your life with steadfast love and mercy. Here's what Paul said. He said, I have run the race. I have finished the course. There is now therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness, right? Which the righteous judge Himself, Jesus Christ, the righteous judge Himself, will give me on that day, but not to me also, but for all of those who look to His returning. So here's the picture. I don't know how judgment is going to go in its details, but I know somehow, the way Paul sees it, Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, is going to somehow stand each one of us up on the number one, the winner's block. Think of the Olympics. They're about to come on again. And as the anthem is played, not of the United States or some other, but the anthem, the song of the Lamb is being sung, and your verse is added to it, Jesus Christ is going to crown you. Jesus Christ, the judge, the righteous judge, himself. Can you think of a more beautiful, more humbling experience for us? Will give us on that day. Who satisfies with you good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What is our response? Bless the Lord. What are we to do? We're to bless the Lord. Why are we to do it? In every season, in every situation? Because Jesus is better. Can we sing this throughout the year that is ahead? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. He is fairer than the lilies of rarest bloom. He is sweeter than honey from the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit, Jesus, I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead. Than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's just better. He is better. Would you worship Him? You can stand, you can kneel, you can come up front. Let's take a few moments. Jesus, you're better. Jesus, you're better. Lord, you are our great reward. We bless you. Let us be satisfied in you. For you are our satisfying portion given to us by a Father who loves us. Make it true that we want you more than we want victory. Because in you we have victory. Make it true that we want you more than we want more of your stuff. Make it true that we want you more than we want to be proven right. Make it true that in our sorrows, in our disappointments, in front of our challenges, we hold on to you and we do not let go because you have shown yourself to be true to us. And even when it is difficult for us to believe so, we can't let you go. Lord, when we face temptation to do things our way, or to excuse our sin away, may it be true that we want you more because we believe you are better than the thrill of a moment, than pleasure of sin for a season. Father, we are challenged by people who are closest to us to curse God and die. May we hold on to our integrity because we know you are better. We are better than the approval of the people whose opinions are most meaningful to us on this earth, because ultimately it is your approval that we're looking for. You're better. You are better. You are better than all things we fear. You are still good. You are always good. You are only good. And Father, may our hope be anchored in you in those times when we are tempted to quit asking you, tempted to quit praying for deliverance, tempted to quit praying in hope. We're so fearful of being disappointed by another unanswered prayer, and so we stop. Let us not give in to hopelessness, but let us hold on to you in hope and ask and ask and ask and ask again. In faith, believing that you are good, that you are true, and that man is the liar. Lord, you are better. You are better. So let every good gift that comes to us be turned back to you in praise. And may every trial that is before us simply perfect us and make us more like you. Jesus, you are better. You are greater. And you are with us. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Master of our souls. You are the Healer of our bodies. You are the Comforter of our souls because you have given us the Spirit. Lord, maybe this year will be the year when somebody's salvation and deliverance we've been praying for actually happens. Maybe this will be the year that you fill us with the Holy Spirit in such a way that you liberate our tongues to praise you in a new way. May this be the year, Lord. May this be the year. More than any other year in our lives, when we feel, when we know that the Lord is our shepherd, and He has taken good care of us.